Welcome back. Welcome to Module 18. You know, initially, this program was only going to be 16 modules, and then I decided, why not have a couple extra modules? Number 17, the review, just helping people tie everything together and make sense of it, and adding a few other extra techniques. And then I decided, why not add Module 18? Module 18 is a bonus module, which is included as part of this program, but it's designed to give you things to say. So many people were writing in to me when I was creating this program saying, you know, I think I can get through this ultimate conversational hypnosis information and deliver it. My problem is having anything to say at all, or sometimes the conversation lulls and I don't know where to go with it. Well, this module is going to be a great tool for you. It's going to give you things to say. Now, I recommend you go ahead and listen to this module in its entirety. Just let these words soak into your brain. You're going to be surprised that later on when you're at a party or talking to someone one-on-one or playing golf with your boss or having a business meeting or a casual meeting or a business lunch or a casual lunch, these things are going to come in handy. Or when you're just talking to someone out of the blue, you've never met them before, it's a cold contact. You're either talking to them on the phone as a cold sales contact, someone you've never talked to before, or you're approaching them at a club or wherever. What in the world can you say to someone in all of those situations? Well, that's what this module is about. It's just line after line after line of things that you can say to people in pretty much any situation, because what you're going to find is that these sayings, these things to say, just kind of either start a conversation or they keep it moving along nicely. So, let's get started. Where did you grow up? You know, people love to talk about themselves. The person that you're talking to has a favorite subject, and it's not difficult to figure out. It's themselves. They want to talk about them. Let's talk about me. So, where did you grow up? And any other question related to that person? Here are a few others. What is your happiest memory from childhood? Do you have any brothers or sisters? Who do you think is the most intelligent person on the planet? Who is your favorite president? Can be any country. What was the name of your first pet? What was the wildest thing that you ever did in high school? When you think about the neighborhood you grew up in, what's changed most about it? Hey, have you ever just packed your bags and run away from home? Like as a kid, hopefully. Did you enjoy PE in school, meaning physical education? What are some of your hobbies? Where did you grow up? And you know, my all-time favorite, hi, what's your name? If there's nothing else that comes to mind, hi, what's your name, is the ultimate conversation opener. You're talking about them, and you're asking a question that makes sense, because you don't know anything about them. Where do you like to go on vacation? As a child, what did you most look forward to? Tell me three things you accomplished as a child that you're very proud of. What's your favorite book? Do you have any remnants from your childhood? Things that remind you of happy times? What was the most difficult thing for you when you were growing up? Now, some of these questions are better as openers, and some of these questions are better as continuers, we could say, keeping the conversation going. And I think you can easily figure out which ones fall into which category. What do you do now to continue learning? Meaning, are they taking classes? Are they interested in hobbies and so forth? And there's a great one. What are your hobbies? What school would you like to go to if they're in school? Are there any famous people who graduated from the college that you went to? If they went to college, of course. Do you know any good jokes? And by the way, jokes are a great way to keep conversations going. If you have some jokes that you like, clean jokes, I recommend, because clean jokes are good anywhere, and I recommend using those. And that reminds me of a joke I heard, which I'd like to share with you now. This is something you can throw into a conversation. A lawyer and a farmer both died and went to heaven. And first it was time for St. Peter to show the lawyer where he would be staying. So St. Peter drove the lawyer to his final destination with the farmer in the vehicle, a vehicle in heaven. And as they were driving, everything started to look a lot better. Rubies on the roads, and then gold on the roads. Everything was looking really nice. Emeralds everywhere. Things just went from nice to nicer. And then they finally arrived at this large mansion. And this mansion is where the lawyer was going to live throughout eternity. So we got dropped off there by St. Peter, and then the farmer and St. Peter drove to the farmer's place where he would spend all eternity in heaven. And as they drove, the road started to not look so good. And eventually got to a dirt road, and there was a shack at the end of the dirt road. And St. Peter said, "We're here." And the farmer said, "We're here? Why isn't this as nice as the lawyer's place?" St. Peter said, "Well, farmers here are a dime a dozen, but this is the first lawyer we've had." All right, so feel free to use that joke, and I'll give you a few more before the module's over. Having jokes to deliver can be an excellent addition to any conversation, but I recommend making sure they're clean. You want to have a few jokes memorized. Why would they be clean? Because clean jokes are acceptable in any situation, and dirty jokes are not. Dirty jokes can actually work against you, so I recommend avoiding them, even if it seems like the appropriate crowd. I recommend keeping your reputation on the up and up and not sharing dirty jokes. All right, back to other things to say. Where did your grandparents come from? Most people who at least live in the United States have grandparents who immigrated from other countries. Do you like parties? That's a great one. You can imagine you can go all kinds of places with that, especially if they say yes. Really? Well, there's one next week. Do you remember names of people you run into easily? How important is it to you that your friends have the same value system that you have? In your opinion, what would the perfect party be like? If you have children, or if you're going to have children, what would you like them to remember about you? What toys did you have as a kid that you would like to have now? That can be very revealing about people. Something that they'd like to have, they don't have. Pay attention to what people say. Pay attention to the ways in which people answer these questions. What type of grandparent do you think you would make? Where is your most favorite place to read? Do you enjoy coloring books? what painting would you like to be a part of? Meaning walk into and just be in the painting. As you can imagine, they can kind of have fun with that and go wild and reveal a lot of things about themselves when they say that. In what way do you like to really unwind and relax? Again, get some great dating ideas from this with that person. Do you sample other people's food? Are you a vegetarian? What is your favorite drink, either alcoholic drink or non-alcoholic drink? Are there any websites that you go to every day? Are you generally an on-time person or an early bird? Or do you like to arrive fashionably late? When you're lost, do you ask for help? When you use your computer, do you use it more often for work or for play? When you take a bath, do you like to read in the bathtub? Do you like to stay up late? Do you eat meals at the same time? Meaning, when you have meals throughout your day, do you have them the same time from day to day? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time? What kind of items do you carry around in your wallet? Do you work out? When you brush your teeth, how long do you brush them? Do you have some habits that you're proud of? When you button your shirt, do you button it top to bottom or bottom to top? Who's the person that you trust most in the whole world? When you want to avoid doing something, how do you act? Everyone has an avoidance pattern. Are you more of a TV person or a movie person? Which do you enjoy watching more? Who is your first sweetheart? In a relationship, how do you prefer to settle misunderstandings? What drives you crazy about your love? Or what drives you crazy about your parents? Or what drives you crazy about your children? Tell me the best pickup line you've ever heard. How old were you when you got married? What was your happiest relationship? What was your most troublesome relationship? Pay attention to the way they answer. Tell me what your feelings are about intimacy. When was your first blind date? Tell me about the first time that you fell in love. Do you tend to take people for granted sometimes? Tell me in what ways you do. And of course, you'd want to share with them probably beforehand in what ways you do. With these, you're trying to either create the conversation or keep it moving on. You're not putting someone on the stand, so be careful with your delivery and make sure that you're always willing to disclose something about yourself and ask in a humble way, not a derogatory way or a demanding way or an accusatory way, just sort of a fun-loving way. What qualities do you look for in a partner? Very important question in dating. What qualities do you look for in a happy marriage or a happy relationship? Who's your hero? If someone broke into your home, would you shoot them? Interesting question, isn't it? But it can really tell a lot about a person. Do you consider yourself to be a spiritual person? What is your religion? And then you can get into all sorts of conversations about the religion? Do you feel self-confident generally? Do you get mad at yourself when you do certain things? And then you can mention certain things that they might do and see if they get mad at themselves during those things. What's your biggest regret in life? What are the things that you would like to do before you die? Would you go to a nudist beach? Again, that's a little stepping over the line, perhaps. You've got to be careful who you deliver certain things to. But if you have rapport and you really want to know, that could be an interesting question. And you're not saying that you're interested in a nudist beach, by the way. What legacy do you want to leave behind? What's your favorite season? Winter, summer, spring, autumn? Do you consider yourself to be emotional? Do you consider yourself to be sensitive? Have you ever done something that you thought was a great deed, a wonderful thing to do, and then had it go wrong on you? What are you best at? Meaning, what's your greatest strength? How would you like to spend your golden years when you're retired? And if you're talking to someone who is retired, how are you spending your golden years? If you live to be 100 years old, who will you be with? Where will you be? And what will you be doing? Would you ever like to be on television or be in the movies? Describe what you'll be like at a certain age. You can say, depending on their age, 70, 80, 90, etc. What is the best thing about growing older? When you encounter a rule that you don't agree with, that you think is just absolutely silly, do you follow it? What things in your life are you really thankful for? Do you believe in UFOs? Do you think that life exists on other planets? All right, time for another joke. You don't have to use my jokes, and you don't have to use my openers or continuers in conversations, but the idea is that I'm exposing you to a lot of information, and you'll be surprised at how this information can come back to you in key moments when you need something to say. But I encourage you to have a certain number of jokes memorized. Now, the ones I'm presenting to you are clean, and you can use them, or you can create other jokes or learn other jokes. It doesn't matter. But I suggest that you have them memorized. People who are good at conversational hypnosis understand that in order to have conversational hypnosis going on, there has to be a conversation. It can't just be technique after technique after technique. There has to be some substance to the conversation. Back to the conversation openers and continuers. All right. Do you work on weekends? Do you like to vacation? Do you overwork? Are you a better speaker or listener? Are you good with your hands? In 5 years from now, where do you see yourself? Do you ever think about the future? You know, like a daydream? What do you think about when you think about the future, when you allow yourself to daydream? How do you feel about schedules? If you could choose any other profession in the world besides what you do, what would you do? Have you ever worked for a hamburger place? What's your biggest pet peeve? Meaning, what's the thing that bothers you the most? When you think about what you do in 10 years, how do you feel technology will affect it? If you win the lottery, what will you do with the money? What's your favorite kind of car? Do you like flying? Do you like taking boats? Do you like trains? Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever been on a motorcycle? Have you ever been on a jet ski? Have you ever parasailed? Do you love what you do? Are you happy with the amount of money you make right now? What's the filthiest job that you've ever had? How many jobs have you had in the past? What's your dog's name, or your cat's name, or your goldfish's name? What was the first job you had that actually paid your bills? Do you believe that people can change? Do you believe in horoscopes? This can be Chinese astrology or Western astrology. Are there any things you say to yourself on a daily basis that empower you? Do you believe in free will? How long would you like to continue to live? Meaning, what age do you think you'll pass away at? If you were a plant, what type of plant would you be? There are lots of ways to pass away. How would you like not to die? Have you ever practiced meditation? Are you into yoga? What is your favorite religious place to visit? Has anyone ever made fun of you for your beliefs? Do you believe that we come from Adam and Eve? What experience have you had in your life that really makes you feel happy and peaceful? Do you believe in karma? How many of the Ten Commandments do you know? Can you read someone's mind? And if they say yes, what am I thinking right now? How important is religion to you? You know, people say don't talk about, what is it, religion or politics. Well, I'm here to tell you that people enjoy talking about that. The only thing that you want to avoid when you talk about religion or politics is starting a fight. If someone has a strong stance on religion or politics, make sure you acknowledge that and choose your battles wisely. Remember, you're not trying to start a fight with the person, you're just trying to get them talking. So you need to be careful what you are saying. But if you can get them talking, sometimes they'll take that ball and run all day with it. You'll have plenty of conversation going on. Conversation is what you need. It's kind of like if you're riding a bike and you're juggling. Well, your job is to juggle while you're riding a bike. But if the bike isn't going anywhere, then you're not juggling while you're riding a bike. Same with the conversation. The bike moving is the conversation moving. You juggling, that's you doing your ultimate conversational hypnosis techniques. But you need to make sure that conversation is moving along. You also need to make sure that conversation starts in the first place. Have you ever tried to convert someone to your religion? How would you compare your intellectual self with your spiritual self? Are you just as intellectual as you are spiritual? Do you have any friends who really, honestly practice what they preach in spirituality? What is your concept of God? Do you believe in witches? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in past lives? What do you think happens to us when we die? Have you ever had a religious experience? Do you have a spiritual life that is active? Do you believe in Ouija boards or crystal balls? Do you believe in deja vu? Do you believe we were created? Name a spiritual leader you would like to know personally. Do you believe in intuition? Do you believe in prayer? prayer helps people. What beliefs do you have that you would stand up for no matter what? Of all the events in the Bible, or name any other religious book, of all the events in that book, which one would you like to have actually seen? Has God ever spoken to you? Have you read the Bible, or the Quran, or the Torah, or whatever they may be interested in? Do you believe that people really have a part in what government does, meaning that what they say matters? Do you believe that people should have free access to the internet? Would you classify tobacco as a drug? Do you believe that newscasters actually report the news? Which political party are you part of? Name something that's been made illegal that you wish was legal. Do you believe that the United States interferes with global developments too much? Do you believe they interfere too little? When we talk about borders, how can borders be patrolled properly? Do you trust the military? Do you believe in them? What are your thoughts about marriage in the military? What's the best debate you've ever seen? It could be presidential or anything else. What news have you seen recently that really had your interest? Have you ever picketed against something, you know, held signs up outside of a business or something to protest something? All right. And on that note, it's time for another joke. Now, remember, you don't have to use my jokes, but you need to have jokes memorized that you can use. All right, here's one that you can use. Two snakes are talking, and one snake says to the other one, "Hey, George, are we the kind of snakes that wrap around our prey and squeeze them real hard to kill them? Or are we the type of snakes that bite our prey and inject venom into them and kill them?" And George the snake says, "Why do you ask?" And the other snake says, "Because I just bit my lip." Okay, sometimes cheesy jokes or groaners can actually work well. Don't think that you have to tell the best joke that anyone ever heard. The idea is you're getting people to talk, you're getting them to communicate. Think about karaoke. People go to karaoke not to hear the great singers of the world gathered under one roof for one show only. People go to karaoke to hear people really bomb out because it's entertaining. When someone tries really hard and they bomb out in karaoke, it is so funny. It's a wonderful time. So think about jokes the same way. The important part is not that it's a great joke. The important part is you're opening up the conversation or you're keeping it going, even if you're talking about how bad the joke was. There's no grade in life for how well you deliver jokes. There's no grade in life for how well you do at karaoke. But there is conversation that comes from all of that. Everything can be a conversation starter. Which leads me to another point when we talk about either starting the conversation or keeping it going. If you have someone in your home or office and you want to continue a conversation, you want to make sure that there are plenty of things to talk about, what about conversation pieces? People talk about conversation pieces. When people don't know what something is, I think they call it a conversation piece. It can be anything. It can be a piece of art. It can be a piece of furniture. It can be something you got from the beach, a shell, whatever it may be. It's something that keeps the conversation going. You have something that you can point to and say, have you ever seen my shell? Have you ever seen my piece of artwork from France? Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen that? You have something to point to, somewhere to go. And you can do this in your office and your home. By the way, this is a good time to introduce a topic that I'd like you to become intimate with. It's a concept called peacocking. Peacocking, named after the bird, the peacock. And the idea with a peacock is that the peacock has these brilliant feathers. And the peacock will show those feathers. And the idea is that this is related to mating. Peacock is interested in mating. So here are these beautiful feathers. Look at this. What else does that do? Well, we know from studying the animal world that also establishes that peacock with those brilliant feathers as something special. It's just an amazing display. So the principle that we take from that, from the animal world, and apply in the human world is the idea of peacocking, which means having something about you that is unique. It can be anything you want it to be. And just to test this principle, I wore a fur coat for a while when I would go out to different places. And I was wearing it to see what would happen. My friends, when I put it on, said it looked ridiculous. That's how I knew that it was going to work for peacocking. Okay, the idea is that you are dressed differently than everyone else in some unique way, whether it's a funny hat or a big fur coat when it's not really cold outside, or an unusual tie. There's something about you that's different. Guess what happens when you employ peacocking? People are going to talk to you. They're going to come up to you and talk to you about that. Hey, interesting tie. Whoa, wild coat. Hey, that's a crazy hat, but I like it. You're going to start conversations and continue them by peacocking. So this does not work well if you're in a business boardroom and you're trying to make a good impression. That's not the time or the place for peacocking. The time or the place for that is normally in a dating situation, or when you're out at a club, or when you're just experimenting with this, because you will find that lower levels of peacocking actually do work well in business situations. If you can have the shirt that's stylish yet different from everyone else's, you have your conversation piece, you have something to talk about. It also sets you apart as being subconsciously superior to the other people, because you have the guts to display your peacock colors. You must be in charge. You're displaying these brilliant colors or this fascinating thing about your wardrobe. It doesn't have to be flashy, but having something different that's eye-catching, that's what I'm talking about. So enjoy that technique. You can become a walking conversation piece with peacocking. So really enjoy that. Try it out. At first, you're going to want to try it among people whom you'll never see again. People who are far away from where you live and work, and you'll never see them again. But you've got to try this technique. If you've never done it, you've really got to give it a try, because you're going to find that nothing works quite like it in terms of starting conversations and continuing conversations. If you are on a cruise and you have 100 business cards and you're trying to give them away, peacocking is the ticket. People will come up to you. They'll want to talk to you. They want to find out, who is this interesting person? Maybe they'll laugh at first, but you can turn that into a conversation. Get a card in their hands. Get a card in every one of their hands, because they're going to be talking to you. I'm going to give you a few more examples of conversation starters or continuers, and then I'm going to give you another joke, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the world, fully armed from head to toe and with a lot to say. A few more phrases. Do you consider yourself to be a romantic? What TV show or movie would best describe your life? What character in a TV show or movie best portrays you? Are you more right-brained or left-brained? What do you think about when you allow your mind to drift? What did you want to be when you were a child? Meaning, what did you want to be when you grow up? How many channels do you think someone should have on a television? What's your favorite movie soundtrack? What's your mother's most interesting habit? Describe your grandparents. What does your name mean? Who named you? Were you named after someone? What's your middle name? Tell me about the town where you grew up. Then, of course, you've got the favorites. Favorite color, favorite number. People have a favorite everything. Favorite name for a child. What will you name your firstborn child? What did you name your firstborn child? If your child was the opposite sex of what they are, what would you have named him or her? What name did you want to be named? Did your parents argue about what to name you? If you had been the opposite sex, what would your name have been? Okay, you ready for one more joke? Not promising it's going to be a good one, but it's going to be one that you can use, and hey, you can always blame it on me. And this is a joke that I've used a lot. People seem to like it. Maybe they like to laugh at it. I don't know. How many psychologists does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer is one, but the light bulb has to want to change. All right. On that note, I want to tell you that you have to want to change. Above all, when you're using conversational hypnosis and changing the ways in which you interact with people, and adding to your ability to keep conversations going and to meet new people and to be a catalyst in your success, when you're considering all of that, you have to want it. You have to want to change your life from the ground up. And if you do, then I encourage you to continue applying the information that you found in this program. Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis will change you from the ground up. The part of you that's the iceberg below the surface, that 90% of you that's invisible, that's hidden, it's your subconscious mind, and that 10% of you that's visible. And that's important because that 10% of you is affected by the 90%. 90% of who you are is your subconscious mind, and that affects what people see. So continue developing yourself physically, spiritually, and developing your technique. Make sure your technique is precise. How do we do this? By practice. Practice, practice, practice is how we become experts at anything, but make corrections along the way. I've heard it said that practice doesn't make perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice means that when you find that you're doing something ineffective, make a change. Make a change and do it differently. So go out there, use these techniques, and continue to hone your skills. Think of your conversation like a sword, a sharp sword. Your job is to sharpen that sword even more every day. Keep it razor sharp. It has been a true honor and a pleasure to train you. Though I don't know you personally, I hope to someday meet you. I hope to meet you at a seminar or somewhere else. I hope that you'll let me know about your progress. Also, if you want help, continuing help, with developing yourself, remember, there's part of this program that you can sign up for in which you get an ongoing series of modules. You'll get one module per month, so I encourage you to look into that. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding life.